have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Hi, I'm Dr. Lowe, host of The Loretta Petit Show, heard here on Elation Radio. Hey, amidst the jingle bells, decking the halls, the great food, fun, and family, remember that Jesus is still the reason for the season. Hey, friends, on behalf of my family to yours, we wish you love, joy, peace, a safe, and a very Merry Christmas.
Christmas all over the world. We've come with a simple reminder. Don't forget Jesus, the Savior of the world. Don't forget, He is the reason for it all. Let's sing it, friends. season, y'all.
Hi everybody, I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Gospel, praise, and worship singer Leandria Johnson's journey to her recording career, she overcame obstacles, hardships, and personal disasters to get there. Born on January 23, 1983, she fell on hard times, losing her home to foreclosure the day before a friend convinced her to drive to New Orleans to audition for the cable TV show Sunday Best. The daughter of a preacher, she had hardly considered a professional career in gospel music. She arrived at the television station with little time to spare. She was amazed to have been selected as a contestant. Johnson ended up being declared the winner by the end of the show's third season in 2010, a placing that not only came with a gift of a new car and a cash prize, but also a recording deal. Her debut seven-song EP, The Awakening of Leandria Johnson, was released in 2011, followed by its seven-song EP, The Evolution of Leandria Johnson, in 2012. Her second full-length album, The Live Experience, appeared in 2012. During 2015, she appeared on the Oxygen reality TV series, Preachers of Atlanta. She returned with her second album, Bigger Than Me, 2 years later. Born on February 20th, 1924 in Miami, Florida, but raised in the Bahamas, Sidney Poitier was the son of Reginald and Evelyn Poitier. His father was a tomato farmer, and the family was very poor. The family moved from the village of Cat Island to Nassau, the Bahamian capital, when Poitier was only 11 years old. It was there that he first experienced the magic of movies. Poitier returned to Miami at the age of 15. He left for New York City at the age of 16, serving briefly in the Army. He then worked as a dishwasher in a restaurant. Seeing the ad for actors in a newspaper, he went to a tryout at the American Negro Theater. Poitier became determined to succeed, continuing to work in the restaurant, but listened to the radio broadcast in his spare time to improve his speaking. He later returned to the theater and was hired as a janitor in exchange for acting lessons. Poitier made his film debut in 1950 in the feature film No Way Out. He also appeared in the movie South African Tale Cry, The Beloved Country, the classroom drama The Blackboard Jungle, and The Defiant Ones, in which Poitier and Tony Curtis appeared in 1925. In the 1960s, Poitier began to make his mark on American popular culture after appearing in the film version of Lorraine Hansberry's play A Raisin in the Sun. In 1963, he became the first African-American male to win an Oscar for his leading role in the movie Lilies in the Field. Director Ruben Santiago Hudson said, "Sidney Poitier is clearly one of the greatest actors in the history of cinema. His integrity and standard of excellence set the bar for generations to come." Many Americans face barriers to physical activity, according to researchers, including lack of time due to long hours and low-wage jobs, the cost of gym memberships or personal equipment. Such barriers are more common among certain groups of people, including African Americans and those with low incomes. According to a study of the American Cancer Society and colleagues, new research suggests that finding time to squeeze in exercise weekly can extremely benefit you. Exercise can lower your risk of cancer. Just a few hours a week of moderate exercise may reduce your risk of cancer, a new study suggests. For moderate exercise, all you need is 30 minutes to an hour of physical activity a day that will slightly increase your breathing and heart rate. If you aren't a fan of the gym, the following can easily provide you the daily physical activity you're looking for: bushwalking, surfing, or cycling. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Jermaine Dolley with I'll Go. 9, Maurice Griffin, Love, Peace, Happiness. 8, B.B. Winans, In Jesus' Name. 7, the group Fire, Fix It. 6, Karima with Redeemer. Number 5, Damon Little, Stand Up. 4, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. 3, Jordan Armstrong, My God. 2, Jonathan Nelson featuring Purpose with Manifest. And our new number one song comes from Kalante Gavin, Great. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, 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 this is not Elder Ernest Richard, but this is Kimmy Kim, and welcome to The Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest Richard and Apostle Urban Whitlow. It is ladies' night, and the Richards are out, and they're enjoying themselves in Aruba. So we, the ladies of the Pastor's Corner, will be hosting a special edition. But before we begin that, let's see who's on. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to give a shout out to everyone on iHeart, Spotify, TuneIn, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you so much for listening to the Pastor's Corner on Elation Radio. Without further ado, let's bring on the sisters. And the first person I'm going to introduce will be Pastor Henderson. How are you doing today, my sister?
Hello, hello, hello. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be on with the women tonight. Looking forward to our discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for coming on. And what a time, what a time. And I would I know we're going to have a great time in the Lord. So I do see Pastor Michelle Wright. How you doing, my sister?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. So excited to be here and be with everyone. It's such a blessing to hear everybody on the line and that the Lord is good and worthy to be praised.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you once again. Do I see Minister Henderson on?
Praise the Lord.
I bless the Lord at all times. Oh,
amen. Thank you for having me. I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We've been missing you on Thursdays night. You know,
sometimes
the men double team us. You know, you and Pastor Michelle Wright, they get to us sometimes. Thank you so much for coming on. And
Thank you for having me.
No, I don't see her yet. I know she's supposed to come on, but I do have the remaining people unmuted. If you'd like to say something, you are welcome to do so. And thank you once again for coming on to the Pastor's Corner. Yes. Without further ado, I want to see if Pastor Wright can pray us in, and then we're going to introduce the topic. This was brought to you by your truly only Pastor Henderson. We were talking earlier, and she helped me with a situation. So now we're going to break bread together on this topic. And Pastor Michelle Wright, do you mind praying us in?
Absolutely not. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity and time to come together to worship you and lift you up. We ask that you bless everyone on the line, everyone that had a desire to be on the line. We ask that you be glorified and lifted up. Inspire us. Give us strength on tonight, oh God. And we thank you for every listener. We thank you for all the ladies on the line. God bless each and every one of them, as well as our bishops that are in bishop elects that are on the line. Have your divine will and way. We trust you, we love you, and we thank you in advance for your Holy Spirit being with us on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And without further ado, we're going to tag team, but this topic was definitely given to you by yours truly, Pastor Henderson, and it's called The Meaning of Christmas. My sister, how would you like to begin this wonderful bread?
Amen. Well, we just want to open up and just talk about, I didn't know we were going to actually talk on that particular topic, but we can just open up.
What? I like it. I know we had a subtopic, but we also have a subtopic, which is we were talking about the unexpected birth because, we had so much because I forgot that it was my turn. So the meaning of Christmas is amazing. So I'm going to let you go ahead and allow the Spirit to guide you. And we do have, I believe it's Bishop Sister on. Are you on, my sister? No, she's not on. Okay, somebody else. Okay, let's start with you then.
You know, when I think about Christmas, I think about, you know, we celebrate it as a holiday, but we think about the birth of Christ and his birth and what his birth means to humanity. For Christ was born in a manger and came in his name. The name Jesus itself means Emmanuel, means God with us. And, you know, just here recently, you know, Lord, you've been dealing with just his presence that is with his people and how important that is because he is the God that is there. He is Jehovah Shammah. So just the fact that we have Jehovah Shammah with us and, you know, Jesus is God incarnated in the flesh. And to celebrate this season, to me, is celebrating our relationship with him, celebrating what he did for us, that he came in the form of humanity to redeem mankind and to bring us back to our rightful place. And that blood that was shed on Calvary, you know, as he grew and he became an adult and he went to the cross, you know, all that he did for us at Calvary. When I think about the holiday, I think about just his life and my relationship with him. And I think, you sing the song, Jesus is the reason for the season. And when you really think about that, you have to think about everything that he did for us, you know, why he came and why his blood was shed and our relationship, our intimate relationship with him. And so it causes you to love and to give gifts and to do those things that, you know, represent him in our giving. You know, it's not just about gifts. It's not just about the Christmas tree. It's just not about the songs and all those things that come along with the holiday. And yes, it is a family time. But Jesus really is the reason for the season. And so even though the 25th is not the actual date of his birth, as we know that to be, but it is a time that has been set aside to celebrate his birth. And so when I think about that, I think about why he came and that he had us on his mind and that this is a prophecy that was prophesied all the way back in the Old Testament that a son would be given unto us and the government would be upon his shoulder and he came to redeem us. And so his name should be called Wonderful, Comforter, Almighty God. And so I just think about who he is and our relationship with him and it causes the joy, it causes the love to spring forth. And it makes you want to be loving and giving. And once you just, you know, just be that, have that time with family and friends and to celebrate with them. And also a time when you can really share Jesus with others as well. So we want to open it up. I guess she's giving it to me. So we want to open it up and just have some other comments on what does the Christmas season mean to you? What does Christmas mean to others that may be on the line tonight? And let's go with, Pastor Wright.
Amen, amen. When I think of Christmas, I agree with everything you said. And I also think it is a time of healing for so many. I know we celebrate Jesus, but it's also a time for families to get together and to allow God to take them on a journey of healing. Sometimes, you know, with family members we haven't seen and various things that happen. And I think what greater way can we honor his presence and his birth than loving on each other, and not only loving on each other, but seeing about those that are maybe in a nursing home or that are not normally with the family. And it's just a beautiful way to lift his holy name and to honor his presence by showing the love that he's shown us.
Anyone else want to share on tonight?
Well, can you hear me okay?
Yes,
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, when I think about Christmas, I think about the word peace. You know, it says one passage of scripture talked about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. I think that this is a time and a season that is really the most beautiful season of the year, a time for us to reflect on, you know, what God has done for us and our relationship with him. And you said Emmanuel is God with us. And when God is with us, he brings a peace. And I think about how there is so much going on in the world, but this gives us an opportunity to just stop and say, let me think about what God has really done for me. Those things that we can be truly grateful for, that we take for granted every single day, the air that we breathe, you know, friends, family, you know, that you have a place of employment, you know, food to eat, you know, those things that really we wouldn't have anything at all without the Lord. So, I mean, it's a time of peace. It's a time of just reflection. And a time to take in and celebrate what he is to you in your everyday life. So, I mean, to me, it's just an awesome time and an awesome season to remember why, you know, why we celebrate the Lord. That song, I heard a song right before the show started, it says, "Don't forget about Jesus." So while we're so busy in our everyday lives, that is what we need to remember. It's just don't forget about him while we're doing everything else. So that's all.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Booker, amen. We're so glad to have her on with us tonight. This is the sister of our very own Bishop Elect Richards, and she's joining us on tonight, and we'd like to hear from her on tonight. Is he with
us? I do apologize. I think she dropped off. Yeah, she dropped off.
Okay, did she drop? Okay. All right, Dr. Kim and Kim, you want to have some words, and I'm going to put it back in your hands.
Well, you guys said it all. I really love this time in the season. It's a reflection of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and all the comments were just on point, because without him, we wouldn't have a purpose to wake up. We would live in vain. I'm still reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the entirety of the resurrection. It's called the resurrection chapter. And it talks about if this didn't happen, everything would be really in vain. Our living would be in vain. What we pray to would be in vain. So I know he lives within me, because he walks with me and he talks with me. And he also tells me when I'm wrong. And so because of that, we are able to have a relationship with him. So I'm grateful that we are able to celebrate him, you know, set aside, that special day. But I really believe every day is a day to celebrate his birthday. So that will be my my comment on the meaning of Christmas.
Okay, I'm gonna put one other question out there, and then I'm gonna put it back in your hands. How can we encourage those that during this time? Because we know that during the holiday time, especially Christmas, we just left Thanksgiving. But oftentimes Christmas sometimes is very difficult for many around this time. You know, you hear the Christmas carols, and it just has a way. It's a very sentimental type of holiday, and a lot of times people really struggle with the holidays anyway. And for some, it's even more difficult. And just talking with different ones, sometimes it seems like the Christmas holiday is the holiday that really challenges them. That maybe have lost loved ones, or maybe it's just a sad time or something around this time of the year that really kind of challenged them. And then some really suffer from depression around the holidays. You know, unlike others, you know, who really are celebrating the holiday, you have another group of people who become very depressed around this particular holiday and then just holidays in general. What are some things that we can do as believers to really encourage them around this time? What are some things that we can do that some of us probably know somebody who probably around this time that really kind of gets kind of secluded, kind of quiet, don't want to go out, and just really wrestle with depression? What are some things that we can do to help to uplift them or to encourage them or to help them in this mode? And I'm going to start with Pastor Wright at this time.
Oh. Okay. Well, one of the things I think would be a great thing to do is to call. Make sure we watch out for them. I know in my neighborhood, I try to pay attention to see if cars are moving in and out of people's driveways, right? Because simple things like that will let us know sometimes if people are okay. Maybe the car could be down, or maybe something's just going on with them. And then to call and say, hey, you know, I noticed your car. You normally are gone at a certain time and return or whatnot. Are you good? And you'll be surprised, just something that simple can let you know if someone's sick, they're having a bad day, if they're out of town. Most of the time with our community and neighbors, when we all go out of town, we usually have a close-knit connection to let each other know, hey, we're traveling. So that means look out for the home, anything, you know, that's suspected. That's one way, even with our families, you know, if we haven't seen them at a family gathering or, you know, heard if they are doing okay, to call and check up. If we don't get an answer, I think it's very appropriate. I'd rather go to your door and know you're okay and you say, hey, I just don't feel like talking, than to find out later that, you know, somebody just assumed you were okay. And we often hear that with seniors, but can I be real? We need to start doing it with younger people as well, because sometimes they are going through so very much. I had a friend recently actually did text me, and I don't know, you know how you think you read things wrong, and she said, my son passed. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it just didn't register, I think. And when she said it, I immediately contacted her back because I know them very well. And she only had two sons, and she had one that had gotten sick, and this one had gotten sick and passed. And so I know that it's going to be a rough Christmas, right? So I just began to intercede for the family and text them. Sometimes people don't feel like talking, so texting a prayer is also good. So I think those are some things that we can do to encourage and strengthen people when they're going through for the holiday season.
That's very good. That's very, very good. And like you said, sometimes you may not can't talk to them, but you'll be surprised what a text can do. Just letting them know that you're thinking about them, you know, and send a prayer that way. That's communication, and that's so important. And there's a lot of people who that are just, you know, going through silent frustrations, and so they may talk, you know, have a regular conversation with you, but then you can just tell by looking at them that something else is going on. So just being discerning, you know, and to listen for key words sometimes, because sometimes it may come out in something that they may say that may trigger, okay, hey, this person is really crying out. And so we just have to be really attentive and really tuned in the spirit to kind of, so we can pick up on those little signs and we can reach out to them, because everyone's not going to tell you that they're hurting.
They're not going to tell you that they're lonely. They're not going to tell you that that holiday just really, you know, put them in another place. But just kind of listen and kind of be discerning. And that was really good, Pastor Wright. You always have good comments. Yes. Amen. So good, mm-hmm. so good. And then just being watchful, like you said, watching and kind of being aware of what you're seeing, you know, happening. So that's really good. Minister Henderson, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yes, just being supportive, sometimes to be there to be a support to those who you come into contact with, whether it's a coworker or your friends. And then don't also assume that, you know, it's only a certain type of person that gets depressed on the holidays. So you'll be surprised how many people, they might be well off. They might be in church. They might not be in church. There's different people that go through different things for different reasons, especially around the holidays, or if they've even lost someone recently or lost someone on the holidays. So just be open to be ready to embrace them, whether in the natural or just to be a support, to be of that listening ear. I know that one thing, you know, with COVID, you know, unfortunately, we're unable to embrace each other physically. And, you know, that's something that we all need, or that's this basic human, you know, thing that people need is to embrace. So, you know, hopefully we will get back to that point where just a hug, sometimes people just need that to make them feel better. So, but until that time comes, just being a listening ear, not being judgmental, you know, and just hearing them out and just seeing what you can do for somebody else and take your mind off yourself and say, hey, what can I do, you know, for you today? Just to put a smile on your face. Sometimes it's just a smile, you know. So it's something you can always do no matter who you come into contact with to lift someone else's spirit.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, and I heard the word assumption. I think I heard Pastor Wright say it too. But not just assuming, you know, that it's a particular person. Then I heard you say not being judgmental, because sometimes we think because that person's in church or that person's a believer, you know, that we only kind of have a certain group of people that probably go through challenges around the holiday. But a lot of times, you know, pastors, ministers, you know, people who are in authority, you know, they also struggle, you know. And so, like you said, just being supportive. And sometimes just sending a card, too. Sending a card with some words. I heard texting, being supportive and not being judgmental, but just trying to really be discerning. And I think this is such a time now that as believers, we really must be discerning, because there could be people right in our midst, right in our family, right in our household, right in our neighborhood who are being challenged and you know, and then you hear an incident that happened, and then you start feeling like, why didn't I know? Why didn't I know, you know, they were challenged with it? And so, you know, we just have to say so careful, because it could be someone right in your own midst that's really dealing with challenges. And so that's where that prayer line comes in, to really just start praying. Just stay careful about the people that you know and the people you don't know, your neighbors, because we are always agents of change. But everywhere we go in every situation, that's what the matter desires, is just to really be more discerning and just stay prayerful in all matters, not just for the people that we know and love, but just for our neighborhood, for our neighbors. People we meet and see. Sometimes you can pass a person in the grocery store, pass somebody, and you just can feel that heaviness. And even though you don't know them, you can just start praying and interceding for them right then, and God can change situations for them. So just stand in that position, that posture of prayer for people, it really, really can make a difference in people's lives. So that has been all good. Dr. Timmy Kim, I'm going to, you know, put it back in your hands, and I'll let you have some comments on that question if you desire to do.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job. Just talk about the meaning of Christmas and what can we do to help those who are, you know, having a troubled time around this era, because, you know, a lot of people have lost loved ones, and COVID-19 has definitely taken a lot of people. And, you know, your sister just mentioned, even if, you know, the strong people need to be preyed on. And then young people, oh my goodness, Michelle, you hit it, because young people, that's why you're seeing so much crime. I mean, a lot of this mental illness is trickling down, because unfortunately, when we don't take care of our mental illness, it sometimes can hinder your offspring, because we're taught, you know, back in the Black church, that we don't need to go see a doctor, we've got Jesus. So I'm still reminded that Jesus did give us, you know, common sense to go get help. And I love this topic. I love it because there are times I'm going to ask for you guys to pray for me. I'm not always together either. So we must be real, you know. We must be real about this holiday season, because people are hurting out here. And I do see, I see Chanel, and I also see Apostle Smith, and I believe I see Elder Sister. How are you guys feeling today? Okay. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the meaning of Christmas.
If you're looking at a
okay,
9-7,
never mind. That's you. That's you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes,
that was her sister. Well,
no,
she we're
would
talking
be a
about 302, the
not a 972. I hear you. I was listening. Good discussion. I had to wait kind of late to call in and try to listen to you by way of Elations. I couldn't get you, so I just figured Google Voice. I could talk to you through Google Voice
oh.
now at night.
Oh, wow. Is that something? Wow. Well, we're talking about the meaning of Christmas and open mic, and we can all ask questions. So my question, then I'm going to pass the next question to Pastor Wright and then Minister Henderson. You know how sometimes we go through our ups and downs. What are some of your things that you do that you tend to do when you feel like you're having a down moment? Because I really believe that some people go through the down moment and they are sometimes embarrassed to tell someone. And so what do you guys do? And then it'll be your turn, Minister Henderson, and then Pastor Wright to do a question, and anyone else online who would like to, you know, do a question. This is open mic.
I think the question was, what do you do when you have a down moment and you don't really want to share that down moment? Is that right? I think that being able to really communicate in some way to somebody that you are having a down moment, because we all have down moments, you know, because we're in this human flesh, we have humanity. And so I think that we all have a moment in time when we don't feel as high, or maybe don't feel it in church as high as we always do. But I think it's important to let somebody know. First of all, I think to really take it to the Lord in prayer. I think that's the first thing for me, is to seek the Lord, you know, to put it before the Lord. And, you know, we can come to the Lord with anything. It's not just the big things, but I want us to talk to him. He's our best friend. You know, he's our Father. He's our Lord. You know, he's our Savior. So to go to him in prayer, and I talk to God just like I talk to, you know, to someone who I really trust, you know, and I just talk to him. And I just say, Lord, I'm just, you know, I'm not feeling this hot today, or whatever the situation is. I just talk to him, you know, and I get in the Word, and I put worship on, and just get in his presence, because it's something about getting in the presence of God that changes you and changes your situation. And it's like when I get in the presence of God, it's just like, oh, wow. He just meets you in that place with him. And so, you know, and then God opens, you know, he just opens his Word to you, and before you know it, you know, someone else may call, and they need prayer or whatever. You don't even think about your situation anymore, because now you're praying for them. But you know, I think it's just that God has a way of really releasing the tension of releasing whatever in you. So, you know, I think it's important to talk to the Lord. And then there may be times when God wants you to maybe share and open up with someone else.
But it's important to really not hide those feelings, because it becomes avenues where the enemy can come in. So I really believe that you should be able to release that, so that that healing can go into those places and begin to uplift you, encourage you, to strengthen you, to build you up. So I think it's important not to conceal it and not to hold it, but to release it so that you can get healed.
Awesome. Good. That's a good one. You, Pastor Henderson, and Minister Henderson.
Okay. I have a question. So someone mentioned earlier on the show that Christmas was a time of healing. And the Word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And we are in a time where we need healing in our land. I mean, for all sorts of things, different things. There's everything that's going on. There's tornadoes. There's all kind of weather patterns that's crazy. There's sickness in the land. There's, you know, plagues. There's famine. People are still going hungry. So there's a lot of different things that's going on. And so given that scripture context, and this is the season where we should be focused, you know, or we're celebrating the coming of the Lord who came to take away the sins of the world. But do you feel in your own everyday life, I mean, how do you feel God is looking upon us as a people, as his people who are called by his name? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we celebrating Christ the way we should be celebrating him in this season of our life? Are we doing everything that we could be doing as his people? And even in your own personal life, is there something more that we can be doing to show God that we love him?
Well, I was the one that mentioned the healing, and I'm absolutely confirmed that in this pastor, right, that is a place that we need to be. And I do, and you took the question. This is a one accord. Oh, I tell you. I was just going to ask, if Jesus were here, would he think he was celebrating? And you said it the way you said it. But I want you to understand, and us all to know, I truly believe that we've taken the context out of, I don't say Merry Christmas at all. I say Merry Christmas, because it is his day. And I do believe that when we're dealing with unbelievers as well as our family in Christ, we have to take a different outlook at the way we look at this. I believe that when we're giving gifts, you know, some people are unsaved. Some people don't see the value of bringing Christ into family affairs or different things that they're doing at this time. The grocery stores and the stores, malls, they're not, it used to be you'd see nativity scenes everywhere, but there's totally a place where people are slowly but surely totally not acknowledging him, but yet calling his name. And I just believe that we have to make a stand and love people and integrate it some form in some way as believers, whether it's at a family dinner. You know, I was saying this about Thanksgiving. We're taught to go around the table, say what you're thankful for. But the life, the Bible tells us that we are to present our lives as a living sacrifice. And I believe if our demeanor in Christ is what it needs to be, that people are open to hear, not just by what we say, but how we carry ourselves during this time to draw them closer to God. Because our worship and our praise in the ways that God would give us unique ways, because we must remember, when people are not saved and haven't been to a church and don't want to go to the church, you know, the word is always good. But we must be mindful and careful of what God, and watch Jesus' example. How did he minister to people that were broken? How did he minister to the woman at the well? He didn't come off calling her, you know what? He gave her love. So I believe if we show that loving kindness, we can honor him in his birth. we can honor his presence, and that people will be drawn to know there's something different in the way we carry ourselves as believers and showing them loving kindness to draw them to the kingdom so that they know how serious it is. And just to remind them gently, you know, these are the last times and the last days, rather, and we want to make sure that all our families are saved. So, and friends and neighborhood, whoever that God would lead us to, that they know we're still praying. Sometimes I tell people this. I say, you know, I'm still praying. Don't make me fall out. They all fall out and laugh, but they understand. I'm not saying, listen, you ain't saved. We don't like you. You got what I'm saying? But it's a humorous way. And every time they see me, they I'm getting myself together because I'm going to do it, you know. But it's a constant reminder, I'm not letting you go. So that's my take on that.
That's good.
Amen. And I would say the same thing. I would say that, yes, I will see Jesus not as pleased, but I know that he knows what, because he knows what, he's the Son of God, so he would know, but he would not be pleased with a lot of things that's going on. And so that's why it's important for us to continue on praying so that we can allow people to understand that he is the real reason, the only reason for the season. And so, yes, I would think that he would be a little dismay, that's a good question. So now, Pastor Wright, what kind of question would you have to bring to the table?
I really want to know. I know we're talking about how do we show others that this is the season for Jesus' birth, but I really am interested in finding I have a thing about the community and outside the doors of the church. When we were in places other than the sanctuary, what are our tools that we use to help others see there is a risen Savior? Are we talking? Are we? Because I believe, like we just said, it's a part of understanding the relationships of people. How do we relate to them? So how do we relate to those that are outside of the church walls to bring them closer to God, and not only this season, but as an overall?
I think it depends. You must show compassion, and you must show love, because without love, everything is vain. And so people know whether or not you truly care for them based on, you know, your actions, because that's why the word says to be a doer and not just hearers only. So you must let your life shine, and it must complement your lifestyle, because we are called to go and, like you say, go outside the walls. He didn't say to stay in the church and save people. That's easy to do. Because I'm still reminded, Jesus hung out with people like me, what I used to do, you know, like, you know, people who weren't, you know, favorable in the church. And so I really believe we must demonstrate love and compassion for one another, and have that wonderful Samaritan lifestyle, because the Good Samaritan story teaches us that sometimes it may not be the people that we look like that we will need to minister to. Sometimes it may be somebody outside of your comfort zone. And so that would be my input.
And in addition to that, I think definitely love and being support, showing love and compassion, because that's what Jesus said, you know, with the tax collectors, and, you know, he ate with those who the disciples didn't think that he should eat with, because he was fishing for souls, he was fishing for men, you know. And so always remember our posture and who we are. And I think to live the life, because even though doing what I believe is, they can discern, you know, that you're really that child of God, you know. A lot of times we think, oh, they don't know
a lot of times when you're in the store, you know, the other day, you know, a person just spoke and says, you know, you're a woman of God, you know, and that just talking, you know, and it gave her mm-hmm. opportunity to be a witness to her, you know. And mm-hmm. so when you live that life, you know, you'll get the attention of that unbeliever, and it opens the door, and then you can have a conversation with them. But when you're on that same plateau with them, and you're saying things outside of, you know, outside of God, and you're, no matter this, everything that you're doing doesn't reflect Christ, well, then they can't see Christ. But when you live that life, it becomes the greatest witness, you know, to that unbeliever, and it opens the door for them to say something. And then I was thinking about not one, but just the other day, I was doing something in the conversation, and the person began to say, oh, I have to tell you in church. He said, what church do you go to? I said, I'm going right down the street. So, oh, yeah, I remember that church. That's the church where, you know, I give away food all the time. Yeah, that's the church. He said, amen, amen. You know, so she was, it started a conversation for me to start a conversation with her. And she had been there before, you know, when we do a lot of things in the community. And so, you know, just but her recognizing my demeanor by recognizing that I was a woman of God, because she addressed me that way. So I was just like, so you never know what people are seeing when they look at you. And I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. But all the time, she was looking at me too. And so, you know, it's just, we have to live this thing. And I really believe that when you live this life, that's the greatest witness to an unbeliever, because they begin to see something different about you. And it opens up a conversation for them to want to say something to you. And that's when that door opens, and then you begin to share the love of God, you know, with them. You begin to, it opens the door, you know, and from there I believe to get her name, and I can pray for her, and then she begin to tell me some other things. So it opens doors. So I say live the life. Be loving. Be compassionate. Be intentional about everything that you do for Christ and in your life. And somebody will see Christ in you and want to have that conversation, which opens the door, and then that light can come on. All you need is a crack. All you need is a crack. And when that crack opens up, God can come in and really work and work in that person's life.
Amen. Amen. And I wanted to add something, unless someone wanted to speak right now.
Go ahead, Pastor. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of a scripture that is found in 25 of Matthew and 35 through 40 that says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous answered him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And I truly believe that is a model that we must do. We can't, I can't sit at my table and eat a full meal and watch you go in and out your house and know you have no food and be content. So I believe that scripture is telling us to make sure, like I would tell people all the time when we train the young people, hey, listen, if you see somebody on the corner hungry, don't just run up there and tell them, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be safe. You know, you can't do that because I'm hungry.
Right.
So my physical need isn't met. So when my physical need is met, maybe I can hear you like you talk with the woman. You knew that when you engaged her, that she felt the presence of God. So now she's open to hear you. And I think that as we witness to a dying world and our family and neighborhood and wherever we may be, that we keep that in mind, that we have to be led by the Spirit of God to allow him to do just what he said right here, that people will be drawn to the cross.
Amen. That's good. I totally agree. And that's really something, because I was reading that scripture someone earlier today, and I totally agree. Totally agree. We have
Amen.
To our his feet in the earth realm. I mean, that's really good. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, because when we begin to really do this, Pastor Wright, I really believe we will see our churches fill. We will see, you know, people's hearts turn toward the, you know, toward the Lord. You know, we will see come on to see. I really believe that. That we have to, we can't be judgmental and still carry Christ and say we are believers. You know, we have to set aside our emotions and what we think and, you know, and just be Christ-like. And that's to reach out. Don't worry about how they got there, how they get in that situation and oh, they should have had this. Put all that aside and just be Christ. My goodness. Yes, Lord. That's what it's all about. Do I hear Dr. Booker in the background? No, that's not her. Okay. Yeah. Amen. So that was so good, Pastor Mike. So good. I always enjoy it. You have really good words to share with us, and we thank God for you tonight.
And likewise, I think we all flow from one another with the one accord spirit, so I love you all.
Yeah, me too.
Amen. Well, I want to send it over to back to you, Pastor Henderson. Do you have another question that we can take bread on? Because I really believe that as we learn and, you know, glean from one another, and as they say, iron sharpens iron, I really believe this is definitely helpful. To let people know that the true meaning for the season is Jesus, and not to go and get broke, and then you have to figure out how you're going to pay down your debt because you're trying to outdo one another with the gift. But it's good to give, but why not give love, you know? I still believe in love. And so I'm going to pass it to you. This is really good.
Amen. I'm still stuck on being the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, being his hands in the earth realm, you know. Because we're living in a very pivotal point right now, and we know that the Lord is soon to come. And I really truly believe that we are that rapture generation that's very well making the coming of Christ. And so what are some things that we can, as far as the mindset of, and I'm so stuck. I'm like you, Pastor. I'm really on reaching the lost, you know, reaching our community, reaching those in our family. You know, what are some things that, because he is so close to come, how can we, I guess we kind of really kind of talked about it, because what would you say to somebody as far as, you know, to get them to feel and to see the urgency of the time in which we're living in, you know, I mean, because, you know, we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating the holiday, and sometimes we kind of get caught up in all the different things that's happening, the holidays, you know, and all the different things that's happening, but also my mind can never get away that we are living in the last days. We are living in the soon coming time of our Messiah. Can we, as believers, reach out and really express the urgency of the time in which we're living in? And I really believe it's an exciting time at the same time, or maybe not exciting, but it's a time that I really believe that we will see a great revival as well in the earth realm. But what, how can we still enjoy and go through life and see the positive, all the good things, but at the same time express an urgency that we are living in a time that we very well can see the coming of Christ? You know, how can we express that urgency to someone who maybe is not there yet?
I would say based on our lifestyle. It's based on because people are going to read you, and then also you have to be a doer. Like Michelle mentioned, you must do the Great Commission, and that is to spread the good news. And then when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was sick, did you come and visit me? We must do those things because those are an act of deed. But you don't want to do those things just to be seen, but you want to do those things because it's the right thing to do. And that's what we're called to do, because Jesus says, if you do it to me,
do it to them, you're doing it to me. So whatever you do, do it things, do things in decent and in order, because this has been recorded into the book of life. And so I do have my friend, Ms. Chanel, on. Do you have any input that you'd like to say? You've been very quiet.
Well, I was just listening. But I have to agree with pretty much what everybody else said, that and just like you just said, our lifestyle, but the way that we live shows others Christ within us. The way that you carry, basically the way that you carry yourself, people can see him in you, because you know that spirit is just, that spirit hovers over you when you're trying to do the right things, and people can see that. They're like, oh, she used to be, oh, she has changed. What has changed you? You know, when I started to change, the people around me, because the way that I was living, they noticed the change. And so that gave me a chance, like, well, you seem different. And then that gave me that window of opportunity to tell them what I have been doing, that I've been getting closer to God, and the reason why I was getting closer to God. Because, there was an urgency. Because just like you said, we are living in the last days. We got people dying every day. Every day.
Yes.
And you got all these different plagues coming up. And you got all these different events happening, like the shooting with the young man. His parents is on trial because of the things that he did, because of the things that they allowed in their household.
Mhm. Yes.
That's all I got.
Amen. That's deep. You're talking about the act of evangelism, because when you have a reason why people say you changed, that opens the window to start that discussion. Okay. Do you have a question that you would like to present to the floor? It's open mic.
Oh, it's open mic. Let me think on my question.
Okay.
Well,
with that being said, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to add, when she said about change, I think that's it. That lifestyle goes back to that lifestyle. When people begin to see, okay, you're praying more, you're reading more, they see that change in you. Then that does open the door for you to say, you know, I'm doing different, you know, I'm doing different because there's something different happening around us, and I'm getting ready. I'm getting myself ready. So when she said change, I just thought that that's so important. When people begin to see you changing, they begin to see you having that posture prayer, your prayer, you know, when you're not eating like you used to because now you're consecrating more, you're fasting. When they start seeing the changes, they're going to say, you know, they're going to notice that. They're going to take notice of that. And then that opens that door where you can begin to say, I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting rapture ready. What's that mean? Oh, that's the Lord is coming back. That opens a conversation. So now it becomes a witness. And that gets them to thinking, hey, I got to change too. If she's changing, this means something, you know. So I just want to just tag on that. Yes. Because people watch us, even when we don't think they're watching. People are watching us. The Bible says the epistles read among men. And so people are watching us. So when we really live that lifestyle and really mean business with Christ, I mean, our life will be that book that people read and solve their lives to change.
People will see. You said it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
People are watching.
Amen. People definitely are watching because for one reason, they nosy. But they
That's
are watching.
True.
That's true, too. You do have some people who just want to see you fall, and then you do have those to see if you actually change. So, yeah, you're going to have spectators.
Right.
But then if we fall, we have to let them know that, hey, when we fall, we get back up, repent, and get back in line. You can't call me a Christian because I messed up. Cause please tell me someone in the Bible who has never sinned besides Jesus. Ooh,
right.
Now we really talk about something. He is the only perfect being. Why not celebrate him? Oh, my goodness. So sorry. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
And the word of God says there's no good thing in the flesh. I did want to add something too. You know, I'm like, first of all, did you guys hear that?
Hear what?
Exactly. That's what I do when I try to get people attention about the word.
I knew it. You got me good.
You know me that now.
Uh-huh.
I say, hey,
you would get me.
What?
I would be the one.
And I would tell them, I say, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be just like that. They go, what do you mean? And then we start a conversation because it's non-threatening. You know what I'm saying? And they may laugh, but it'll give them some food for thought, too. And they may crack up and start walking. They're like, she is crazy, but at least you got the message, okay? So I feel like you got to get them by any means.
You got me good that time.
That's
But all right, I'm going to have to try that trick. All right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they'll say, what? And you say, hey, you know, Jesus is coming back. Or you can give them an intro to let them know, like you said, we're non-threatening as believers. We want you in the body of Christ by any means. That, you know what? We go after jobs and everything else as hard as we can because people want to be blessed. But when it comes to souls, we have to do that as well. You know, I try to make it a personal mission. I often say I want to be in heaven with my crown so heavy, my head is cocked to the side. I can barely stand up from all the souls that have been touched because that's the real focus of ministry for Jesus. He was enlarging the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's how we have to look at going after souls. Not that it's threatening or what am I going to say? Listen, he related to everybody that he saw. They would receive him. So if you're dealing with a basketballer, you better learn some basketball terms. If you're dealing with someone that loves to play video games, you're going to have to throw something out there about the video game. And half the time, I'm wrong. But at least I get their attention. So they'd be like, this woman here. I was like, you know what? When I was playing the game, they'd be looking at me like, I know she don't play no game. So now they're like, okay, like, what's your favorite game? Lord, forgive me. I got to make up something. Got me. But it's just a way for us to, and I'm just saying different ways, not necessarily those ways, but thinking outside the box to know everybody's human, you know, and they want to be loved. And that message of love comes in many ways, the way the Lord will use you to do it. And I just love that he loves us like that.
Yeah. That was good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Did we lose Dr. Kimmy Kim?
I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just talking. And I was like, Apostle Smith, I see that you're online. Would you like to say anything? I was muted. I'm sorry about that, my beautiful sister.
Yes.
But Apostle Smith is on. He's been on off the entire show. I'd like to see if he has any input.
Amen.
Yeah, very, very good discussion tonight. And I am grateful for the things that have been said. I just want to throw this out. I hear about the winning of souls, but I want to say that when are we going to get such a hunger for souls, that we are like the late Apostle Smith Wigglesworth, who got up one morning and looked at his wife and said, I'm getting ready to go out, but I will not return home until I have won a soul for Jesus today. That if I don't come back home tonight, you know I haven't won a soul yet. That when I come back, you know somebody been won to Jesus. Now, somebody may say, that's foolishness. How are you just going to leave his wife like that? Well, he didn't leave his wife. Ministry was so in him until he said to her, do the Lord's work. I won't be back to see you. I can't spend time with you and somebody still lost in sin. And the reason I bring that up, because most of us claim that we are busy. And when we really look at what we do in a day's time, we're not busy. We're just not willing to get out and win somebody to Jesus. And because you won somebody today and don't win nobody else until January, get on your job. It's a daily opportunity for us to win somebody to Jesus. And let us get more serious than the seriousness we already claim we have. You know why? Because all lives matter.
Yes.
The Lord bless you. Thank you for that moment.
Wow.
Amen.
Now, how you going to come on and drop the mic like that? Basically, you're talking. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Have a list. That's right.
That was beautiful.
Have
so
a
does
list.
Anyone else have anything to say before we close up? Because I'm just full right now. This was a great discussion. Does anyone have anything they would like to add?
I just want to say I think tonight was really beautiful. I really appreciate what Apostle said because it is serious business. And I agree, you know, every opportunity, we often talk about this all the time, but every opportunity, you know what I do? I make a list. I have neighbors, I have family, and I have friends. And one of the things in winning souls is you have to build relationships as well. And in that, at the end of the year, every year, I look over that list, and most of them may have been won by Christ earlier in the year or whatever. But just as we strategize and we talk about jobs, like we say, it is real for ministry as well. And we will find when the kingdom is enlarged, it does something for each and every one of us. When we first get saved, we get so excited, don't we? We want to tell everybody. But as we start maturing and as we start living and going through life, we have our own situation. But that should never leave us. There should always be a place that we engage others for the kingdom. So I bless God for Apostle Smith and each and every one of you on tonight.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say I'm going to pass it back over to you. I just want to thank you for this wonderful discussion. And I got my meal for today. I need to do more.
Amen.
Amen. We thank and praise God. Amen for all the comments and amen for Minister Henderson and all those that have gathered on the line tonight and Apostle Smith, Bishop Elect, and I heard the other young lady, the other sisters on the background. I thank God for each one of you tonight.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we thank God for what he's doing. And we want to encourage each of us just to continue, amen, to keep Christ as our focus. I like what Pastor Rice says, that she doesn't say Christmas. She says Christmas, you know,
mm-hmm.
because he really is the center of this holiday. Mm-hmm. And so we thank and praise God for that. I do want to encourage, and I'm going to kind of piggyback off what Pastor Rice said about making the list, you know, to make mm-hmm. a list of those we know that are out of the ark of safety. And begin to pray over that mm-hmm. list, that as time goes on, that you can see God working in their life. And every mm-hmm. so often, give them a call, send them a text, send them mm-hmm. a card, go visit, mm-hmm. do something, make it your business mm-hmm. to do something for those names you wrote on that list. And then begin to watch God work in their life. But we got to build mm-hmm. the hedge. We got to stand in the gap. Amen. And we got to claim, amen, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. We got to claim them for the kingdom of God because time is short. So I encourage each one of us to really be that one who is standing in the gap as an intercessor for this time that we're living in, even right now, because the Lord is soon to come. Amen. And we don't want anybody to be lost. He said he sent laborers in the field for the harvest, right, but the laborers are few. And God wants us to pray that the laborers will go into the field. And as we pray, I believe God's going to send us to be that laborer to reach somebody. He is sending us. And so let us be about our Father's business. I want to say, before we close out with prayer, and I'm going to ask Pastor Wright to close us out with prayer tonight. Is Bishop Elect still on the line? Elect Richard? Is he still on? We're going to have him to come back if he's still on the line. Amen. After
no,
Pastor Wright prays. But I want to say, is he gone?
Yes.
Amen. All right. We'll have Pastor Wright to close us out. But I want to say, everyone, have a very blessed holiday. Amen. Enjoy your time with families. Amen. Let's remember, as Pastor Wright said, that one who may not have a meal that may be in need, amen, bake them a pie. Do something special for them. Reach out. Reach out this holiday and love on somebody. Love on. Remember that somebody's hurting, somebody's in distress, someone may be going through. But let us pray for one another that God's will be done in our lives. We thank and praise God for each one of you. I pray that each one of us on the line would have a blessed holiday with family and friends, and that we are keeping Christ the center of our lives. At this time, we're going to put it into the hands of Pastor Wright to give us the closing prayer and the benediction, and we turn it back into the hands of Dr. Kim and Kim. Pastor Wright.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this hour. We thank you for the time we've spent to worship and lift up your name. Father, thank you for hearing every word, for using every person, for allowing our hearts to align on one accord. Father, as we leave from this place, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will lead, guide, and direct us to every soul you want us to win during this season, oh God, and that we finish strong for the end of the year. We're approaching a new year, but this year isn't over, oh God. So remind us of those things that you would have us to do, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the sensitivity in all of our spirits to reach someone for you, to look for our neighbors and family members and all those that may need you even the more, oh God. Give us a word in our mouth in the season that we're in. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, not only that souls be won, but bodies be healed, people be set free from demonic oppression, that you allow them to understand that not only do we sing about you and lift you up, but because you are real, you're able to meet their need and give them peace in this hour. So we say thank you, oh God. We ask that you forgive each and every one of us of our sins, and Lord, that you would give hearts to forgive, that we will forgive others, oh God. Some things are just trivial, or what the enemy may have made a big to-do about, God. Let us be able to let those things go and go into this season with love. You said with loving kindness
have I drawn thee. And, Lord, we want to be used by you. Use each and every one of us for your glory, O God, that someone will say, what must I do to be saved? That is what we're living for, God. That's what we believe, and we're trusting you for just that. And then, Father, would you hear the unspoken requests, those things that may not have been said in the atmosphere from each and every one of us on the line and every listener. Would you hear the unspoken request and take care of those too? And we will give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. You alone are worthy. And we thank you in advance for all that you will do. And thank you for keeping us all safe. And bless those with a broken spirit on this evening. Lord, let them feel your love like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, take care of Elder and Lady Sharon while they are away. Bless them and keep them, God. And we give you so much adoration for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Apostle Phil, can you close us out?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you tonight. Yes. As we listen, and these women of God have been involved in a discussion tonight, Lord, that many needed to hear. But Lord, help us tonight to always be conscious of the fact that, Lord, as much as we talk about the hurting and the needy, help us, Lord, to not be one of the hurting or the needy and putting on a mask to tell somebody else what we need ourselves. Lord, help us to walk in you. Help us to live in you.
Yes.
And Father, help us to see the result of our prayers and life living, many souls for the kingdom. And Father, not for a Jew crowd, but because we love you, we honor you, and we want to make the kingdom look as good as possible because of us. And so tonight, bless these women of God. Bless their lives. I rebuke the hand of the enemy that would try to stop any progress that they're trying to make do or to experience. Now, Lord, we give you praise. Bless Sister Kitty Kim. For Lord God, we thank you for this avenue through her to minister your word and to discuss the needs of people. And so, Lord, we pray a special blessing on her life. Now, Father, bless us this night as we shall rest before you. Show us dreams and visions of great things you would have us to do. We pray to you, glory. Thank God for Bishop Dev, Bishop Elect, and his wife as they enjoy each other. Lord God, in the island tonight, show them, bring them back safe and without any hurt, harm, or danger. And so, Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Well, thank you once again for this wonderful edition, special edition of the Ladies' Night every third Thursday. And I thank you, Pastor Henderson, because I'm going to be honest, I forgot it was my turn, and she was just so amazing to take on the role. And we have so many wonderful ladies come on and break bread together. And it's just an indication that the enemy is alive. Women, we do get along. So I just want to thank everyone that participated in this wonderful bread discussion. And thank you once again, and have a great, great, great evening. And I'm going to close us out with Silent Night, and thank you so much. And I forgot, did we do the calling? We didn't do the calling. Okay.
Let's see, Minister Henderson, can you do the calling of the soul? We can't do that. Oh, gosh.
That's okay. The Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So if there's anyone under the sound of my voice who has not yet accepted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior for the remission of your sins, all you have to do is say, Lord, I thank you for being the Savior of the world. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that you are Lord of all, and I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. If you said this, then you are saved in the name of Jesus.
Now we can close out. See? We got wonderful women who is ready at the spot. They are already equipped for the word. That was not planned. Listeners, this is all about him, not about us. We just want you guys to know that you can have fun in the Lord. And let me close us out. And you guys have a great night. And thank you once again, Pastor Henderson, for, you know, telling me before. Because
amen.
Sometimes I forget.
That's what we do.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor
thank
Wright.
You, Dr. Kevin Kim.
Love you
so
all.
Thank you so much.
Love you
Love you all, too. And thank you, Chanel, and Minister Henderson, and Apostle Smith, and be blessed, everyone. Be blessed. God is so amazing.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Oh,